Hello, Saints. So today I'm going to go over a study I did called Conformed to His Image. And this is a big study, a lot of big chunks of scripture in here, but I think it'll really be edifying for you. It was edifying for me to study this all out. It contains the whole gospel in it, and I hope you're edified by this, and let me jump right in. Romans 8, 28 to 29. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So this is an encouraging portion of Scripture for any born-again believer, as we can see the Lord does all things for good when we love him, being conformed to the image of his Son, God himself, through all our trials, tribulations, rebukes, corrections in the Word of God. So I'd like to go over today some key verses about being conformed to God's image, an image of holiness, righteousness, and truth, and how those outside of the truth are conforming themselves to the world. So as we know, the Word of God was with God, and was God in the beginning, forming all things by himself, in him being life. John 1, 1-4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So by his word, man was crafted in the image of God, walking faithfully in holiness, righteousness, and truth toward our Creator. Genesis 1, 26-27. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Genesis 9, verse 6. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. So yet God, not willing that man be robots, unable to choose a willful love for their creator, gifted man the ability to understand and choose right from wrong, truth from error, authoring commandments for mankind to adhere to. Genesis 2, 16-17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." So unfortunately, man gave place to the deception of Satan, with promises of wisdom and a godlike status, choosing to disobey the Lord and stepping outside of the bounds of truth, righteousness, and holiness that God had set for man, because he loved man. Genesis 3:13. And the Lord God said unto the woman, "What is this thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." So man has then inherited the fallen nature of Adam, all since the beginning choosing sin at some point in our lives, falling short of God's holiness, righteousness, and truth, deserving of eternal damnation and punishment originally designed for the rebellious enemy and his angels. Matthew 25:41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But Adam, as we read on in Romans 5, was a figure of him that was to come, figure meaning a type or modeling what was to come, and we read this in Romans 5, 13-21. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come, But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God, and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered, that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So the Lord himself loved man much. Even while we were yet choosing sin, he desired that none would eternally perish as the angelic rebels would, but that through his perfect holiness, righteousness, and truth, all might be saved. Thus the Lord sent his only Son, himself, in the likeness of our sinful flesh, to save us from our sin and his wrath made apparent by the law and our conscience. John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Romans 8:3-4. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemns sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So the Savior, the Word made flesh, who was with God and was God in the beginning, who formed man in holiness, righteousness, and truth, and saw that he was good, came down from his heavenly throne to do what man could not do, living a perfect life in sinful flesh, being tempted just as we are, sacrificing himself as the pure and spotless lamb for the sin of mankind, and 3 days later, rising from the dead to conquer death and its power over man. Hebrews 2:14-18. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Here's another big portion of scripture, Hebrews 10:1-17. You could pretty much read the whole book of Hebrews, and it'll give you the whole outline of Jesus' sacrifice for us and our faith in what he's done. But here's a portion of scripture. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices. Sorry, I had to put out my fire I have in my little van here. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, verse 5, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. So because of this beautiful, undeserved sacrifice for mankind that he might save some, the Holy Spirit was sent to those who repent and seek to enter into life. For the truth, holiness, and righteousness is given to those who desire it, who seek after reconciliation with the Father through Jesus Christ, who want to be conformed to the image of his Son and serve him as mankind first did. John 16:7-11. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Luke 13:24. Strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. But as we see stated in Luke 13, the way is narrow, and you have to fight to enter into eternal life, crucifying the flesh, separating from the world, because any sin that is willfully being committed outside of the truth means there's no sacrifice for it, as you are willfully choosing rebellion. Galatians 5:24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. 2 Corinthians 6:14-18, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Therefore, because this way to eternal life is so narrow, we must daily be washed by the word of God, which sanctifies us and sets us apart, being the truth, being Jesus Christ, who first formed man uprightly. Adhering to the life-giving Word of God conforms us to the image of God, as man cannot live by bread alone. John 17:14-23. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, and thou hast loved me. That's a beautiful prayer portion of Scripture. Luke 4:4. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. The Lord sanctified himself in the world, that we may be sanctified and set apart as well, being the firstborn of many brethren. God is calling many to lose their wicked, worldly, flesh-driven lives, to serve him in spirit and truth, sanctified by the word of God, set apart for the hope of salvation by Jesus Christ. Yet so few love the light. Matthew 22:14. For many are called, but few are chosen. And the word few here is the same word used in Matthew 7:14, talking about few there be that enter into eternal life. Mark 8:35. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. John 4:23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Lamentations 3:25-26. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. John 3:19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Those who do not choose the truth, the word of God, Jesus Christ, who is the way to eternal life, but choose to twist his word, add to it, take away, or ignore it, will be judged as rebels, fulfilling their own lusts, pleasures, and flesh over the God who made them upright and loved them enough to send a perfect way out. Satan is a liar and the father of it. He knows the word of God well, and if he keeps man in one lie, it's outside of the truth and being conformed to God's image by the truth. 2 Timothy 3:1-5. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. John 8:44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Matthew 7:22-23. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So God knows us when we walk in his truth, come out of the world, come out of our sin, are born again by his Holy Spirit, continue in sound doctrine, being conformed to the image of his Son, unto eternal life. There is simplicity in Christ, but it is the charge of a man to repent and stay in the narrow path, diligently taking heed to any departing from the truth which sanctifies us. So, in conclusion, Revelation 3:3-4, one of my favorite verses, verse 4, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast, and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. So that was my study on being conformed to the image of, or being conformed to his image. And it was a really edifying study for me to do, because we see that God originally made man upright to be righteous, to be holy, to be set apart for himself. He gave us commandments right away to love him, to do his will, but man chose to sin and choose their own will, to choose death. So death entered into the world by one man, but by one man, Jesus Christ, holiness, righteousness, and truth is returned to man, and the Lord gives us his Holy Spirit when we're willing to repent, obey, walk in the truth, and abide in the truth, unto eternal life, the hope of our salvation in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit being a down payment for that salvation. And those who are outside of the truth of God, as we see in modern churchianity and a lot of professing Christians, are outside of Jesus Christ. They're not being conformed to his image, which is the Word of God. It's all connected. It's a really beautiful salvation the Lord has for us. I pray you meditate on these things, and I hope this was edifying for you, and God be praised in everything that we do.